Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you are having a splendid day. We're getting you ready for tonight's World Series. It's game three already, right? I did kind of mentally, in all honesty, skip over game two. I think a lot of Dodger fans did. They're like, oh, yeah, Kershaw was good. We're good. Like, yeah, that's not actually how it works. You have to win four times, not just one. But, like, look, this is a really interesting series. So tonight, and I completely understand because in many ways, like, I'm with you on a little bit different scale. Like, I'm obviously a huge sports fan. But, you know, look, your bandwidth can only bring in so many sports. So maybe you got back into looking at the NBA and then you had the NFL and you had your fantasy team plus you had your kids. You're like, and you wanted to keep up with baseball. Be like, you know, baseball bubble. Or maybe you're totally into the baseball thing. So tonight, that is a good pitching matchup. Really, really good. It's really good because the best pitcher for the Dodgers starts tonight. Right? Walker Buehler. What a great name. So Walker Buehler's had this blister problem, and apparently the blister problem really rears its ugly head on his slider. You know who would actually give us a little bit better perspective on the blister problem? A guy who's played Major League Baseball, plays for the Yankees, Luke Voit, first baseman, New York Yankees, joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. First, Luke, how are you?
I'm doing good, man. Everything's going well.
I'd be better if you guys were playing in the World Series. It's slightly disrespect. Like, everybody wanted Dodgers Yankees, and then yeah. Do you watch? I mean, I remember in basketball when we'd be beaten and the tournament was going on. You're like, hard to watch. Do you watch?
I've watched a little bit, but same. You know, especially it's nice having football on. You know, it feels like it's almost on every night. With all these games getting rescheduled. So I'm a huge football fan, so it's nice to watch that and get my mind off it. But, yeah, for sure, you know, it takes a while to get the interest. But, you know, with social media now, it's hard not to, you know, see what the score is or what big hits happen in it, you know, through Twitter and Instagram and stuff. I'm kind of off it, dude. It's, you know, once your baseball season's over, it's so long, you want to, you know, get away from it.
Why were you so incredible this season? Like, I mean, 22 home runs in 56 games is just ridiculous. And obviously, I'm sure part of it you're going to say is, look, I got the at bats, you know, I haven't gotten a chance to get this many, but what was it that just clicked for you?
You know, I think I'm just growing, man. I've just taken a lot of information in and, you know, in my body, I'm learning, you know, my swing and, you know, I'm just maturing more as a person and growing and, I'm turning into a more student of the game, and you know, I'm keeping an open mind to different things and talking to guys, you know, whether it's players or coaches, and I'm just trying to get better, man. I'm a blue collar guy, and I've always been like that, and I do whatever I can to get better. And there are some things I worked on. You know, I always finish with one hand, but this year I started finishing with two hands to get better extension with the ball, and I think that helped me have better spin on the ball. And you know, instead of those doubles and fly balls, I was hitting more homers this year. And
I thought A-Rod brought in the one hand finish. I thought the one hand finish was the home run finish. Why is that now? It's now everything's going back. Now we're going to the two hand finishes.
Well, A-Rod hit a lot more home runs than I've hit, so whatever works. But again,
he did not hit 22 in 56 games.
Yeah, but his career is pretty impressive.
Sure.
But I mean, you got guys like Craig Counsell who did amazing, you know, and the guy hit with his hands 2 feet above his head, and then you got guys like Jeff Bagwell that, you know, hit, you know, and he had the widest stance I've ever seen. So, I mean, everything works in baseball, man.
Yeah. Okay. Wildwood Missouri, kind of a border town or whatever. You were a big football player as well as baseball player. And you're a big dude, 6'3", 225. Your little league was what?
What do you mean?
It was like Wildwood. Was like Wildwood Little League. Or was there a different name for it?
I played slob of baseball. It was like travel baseball. They're called the St. Louis Redbirds.
All right, St. Louis Redbirds. And did you always play first?
Similar to like AAU stuff. You know how it works.
Yeah, you know, I got a son who does the pony stuff, but now he's moved all to club. Were you always a first baseman?
No, I played first when I was growing up when I was little, and then I caught when I was in high school, and that's what ended up getting me drafted by the Royals, and then caught in college, and then I caught my first. Very good, so they made me a first baseman.
You miss catching? I used to love catching. Like, you control, see the whole game. First is a little similar in terms of the amount of times you're kind of involved in the play, but do you miss catching?
Yeah, like you said, I miss the mental side of it, you know, just figuring out the hitter and trying to get him out, man. It's a chess match, but I'll tell you one thing, my knees don't miss it at all, and my body feels a lot better without catching all the time, but there's parts of it you miss, but you know, I think I made the right decision, or I guess the Cardinals did by not letting me catch anymore.
Yeah, it's interesting because growing up so close and playing for, you know, essentially the Cardinals when you're in the AAU, and then coming up through their system and playing for the Cardinals, now you're with the Yankees. What are the two organizations like to play for, like compare and contrast?
You know, the Cardinals always have, you know, everyone says the Cardinals way. They're just very, you know, strict in what they want, and they develop players at a very good level. They always seem to find guys, you know, hidden gems, and, you know, everybody's on the same team. Everybody wants to win, but, I mean, I go to the Yankees, and they have, you know, twice as much and more, you know, and they know how to win, man. And, you know, it's obviously different styles of ball in the NL and AL, but, you know, obviously now everyone has a DH and stuff, but I just like I didn't really feel it in St. Louis as much as I do with New York. It's just the camaraderie and how guys are in the locker room and, you know, the leadership that was over there. And that's both, you know, in the front office, you know, coaches and with teams, you know, with all those guys, you know, all those championships they've won in the last, you know, 30 years. And they just keep that tradition going and going and going. And, you know, those guys still stick around and show up for spring training and show up during the season to help you and to try to make you a better baseball player. So it's something that always has been great to me, and what the Yankees have done to provide me with, you know, such a huge, you know, analytical side, and that with everything I need to become a better player is something that I feel like the Cardinals are a little bit behind on.
Yeah, that's interesting. Luke Voigt joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Sorry if I'm bouncing around. When I knew we were having you on, there's so many things I want to ask you. I want to ask you about DJ and you. Like, you mentioned how you're taking in all this information and changing and evolving your swing. To the layman, because he leads the league in hitting, you lead the league in home runs, and you guys both had amazing seasons. What do you, when you watch his swing, what can you take from it that you kind of like, oh, I like that. I want to add that to what I do, or is it just body type so different? Like, when you watch DJ, what do you see?
Only guy in baseball that doesn't get shifted. He's the guy that, like, if you're hitting behind him and there's two outs, you know you're going to get the at-bat. It's crazy. His routine is so simple, but it's the same thing every day, which is something that I try to emulate, and that's something I took from him. I mean, whether that's the same, he's the same thing for breakfast. He gets the same coffee every day. He shows up the same time. He goes through the same routine. I mean, there's a reason we call him the machine, is because the guy's literally a machine and the guy freaking rakes. You know what? And the best thing that I can give him a compliment to is he's the same person every day. You know, I know it's a really easy cop out for someone, but the guy doesn't show emotion. You know, he's always going to show up. He's going to, you know, work his butt off. And, it's impressive to see what he does. I mean, I grew up watching the original machine and Albert Pujols, and it's pretty cool watching him play too. And, you know, 2 years ago, I get to be on first base with him, and, you know, I used to watch him hit when I was, like, 13 or 14 at the same batting cages. But it's impressive how, you know, even though it was 60 games in last year, I mean, he won two batting titles, both in each league. It's unbelievable, man. I mean, it's fun to watch. He's a great dude to talk to because he's a guy that's like just when you, if it's like in the third inning, we'll sit there and we'll talk about the pitcher and stuff. It's just crazy information the guy can see and what he knows is coming and what he looks for.
All right, Charlie Morton. When you get in the box with Charlie Morton, what do you see?
Charlie Morton?
Yeah.
He's got a nasty slider.
Nasty.
If it starts front hip, you let it rip. But then he's also got the command to throw backdoor sinkers, which you can never give up on. And then he's got a little cutter, too, to keep you off balance with everything. But, you know, Charlie's one of those guys that doesn't make a lot of mistakes. You know, and his curveball is one of those pitches that he always usually locates it off the plate or it's a strike. You know, it doesn't leave a lot of balls over the middle of the plate. So, one thing, too, is he's trying to pitch more up in the zone. So, you know, he's trying to, so he can sneak those, you know, sinkers down and in. And he's an old school pitcher, man. He's going to brush you off in a little bit to try to get the away pitch.
You know, his numbers, you know, when he gets deep into counts, he's better than early in the counts. On the other hand, the Dodgers are known for, hey, we want to run up that pitch count. So knowing that, when you're sitting in the hitters meeting and you see that, like, are you taking an earlier opportunity when you see something, or are you still trying to stick to your philosophy of running up the pitch count?
I mean, I think the goal every time is to get into the bullpen. And even though I know the Rays' bullpen is good, I mean, you want to wear them out, especially like in a 7-game series. So, you know, they don't have as many bullets left towards the end of it. So, for sure. But again, you know, in my opinion, and as a hitter, everybody knows I'm an aggressive hitter. And, you know, if there's something there to hit, man, I'm letting it eat. So, and Walker is going to attack the zone with that stuff. And I know Charlie is too, but you can also – you know, I've seen them both, you know, in the third, fourth inning have 70, 80 pitches too. So it's a chess game, man, but you got to do what you got to do and you got to do your homework and, you know, see how he's feeling because, you know, he could go out there and pitch completely different than what your game plan was.
Luke Voit joining us, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. First baseman, led the American League in home runs, 22 and 56 games. Remarkable, remarkable stuff. We were talking about Belly's home run in game 7, then he hit one in game 1. But the game 7 is like he's left-handed. You know, he gives a little cock of the walk look and struts, and it's just the coolest look. What is that feeling like? Like, what is it like in Yankee Stadium to hit a bomb?
It's like Christmas morning, man. It's like, especially when I get the loop chance and I'm running around, and you know, it's a big game. You know, whether it's Boston or Tampa, whoever we're playing. There's nothing that beats it, man. And, you know, I'm sure it was pretty cool for those guys to actually get to play in front of fans this year and, you know, get to do that, experience that. And, you know, I came up, you know, playing against him in the Dodgers organization in the minors too. And he's an impressive dude. You could tell at a younger age that he's going to be an MVP caliber player. And, but yeah, when you nut on a ball and there's no better feeling, man.
Better on at home or on the road? Like, cause I do think like at the home, on the road, like you're in Fenway. Right, and I know you didn't have fans this year, obviously, but like when they're yelling again, and all of a sudden it goes silent, and then you just hear it like hit against something, or somebody catches it and tries to throw it back. Better at home when they go crazy and cheering your name, or better on the road?
It's the best when you get to take the lead, or if it's in the playoffs. So,
yeah.
It is pretty cool though, like you know, because. All you hear is your boys just screaming and yelling, too. So yeah. When you hit a home run, you know, the crowd goes quiet. So it doesn't matter, man. Home runs are great, whether there's no fans. We're playing in Japan, London, or wherever, man. Home runs are homers in college.
I got one more for you. We were talking earlier. I don't know if you saw this. Army-Navy game is being moved on campus to West Point. You know, your brother was captain of the – you used to beat up on your brother. You were not a good big brother. You used to pummel him and noogie him. And you'd hold him down. You'd do I'm sure you did the spit thing where it would come down right in front of him. They slurp it back up. He became captain of the Army football team. To somebody who what is that like to watch your little brother play for Army at West Point? Like that's got. I was trying to tell the guys I've been there. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, I think the Army game is one of the funnest, if not the best football game I've ever been to in my life. I think it beats the Super Bowl. All of that just with the. How much those guys care and how much those guys want to win. And, you know, they only get, you know, a couple years of it. And those guys will beat the snot out of you, man. It's impressive. And for what my brother did, you know, you know, about a month. So it's tough. You know, I play for them, and it's always go R&B. Beat their ass.
Okay, so tell me what you're doing with T-Mobile. Now, T-Mobile's donating, and I mean, if you were playing, obviously they'd be donating lots of money, but $10,000 per home run to the T-Mobile Little League Call-Up Grant Program. How does it work?
Yeah, so it's, I'm happy to be with T-Mobile. They're a very dynamic and innovative brand, and you know, I've had a lot of fun working with them during this, and you see one in five kids that, you know, don't have a chance to play Little League anymore just because of financial stuff and, you know, everything going on with COVID. And you obviously mentioned the $10,000 per home run. And then if you text Little League to 313131, T-Mobile will donate $5 to support a local grant recipient in your community. So these donations are awesome. And, you know, I think it's huge because, you know, I couldn't imagine being a little kid not being able to play a little, you know, baseball or, you know, going out with the boys, you know, for a little road trip and playing somewhere around your city. So I hope everyone can donate a little bit and, you know, let these families, let their kids, you know, girl or boy play. So it's an awesome thing. You know, let the young ones play.
Luke, congrats on a great season. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing with us so much your baseball knowledge. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. Good luck and stay sick.
All right, that's Luke Voigt, stud. For the New York Yankees, 22 home runs in 56 games. Go ahead. You can do the math of what that looks like with 162. That's not hard math. You're like, he did what? Yeah, that's exactly what he did. Yes, General.
And to have Stanton and Aaron Judge on the same team and you out hit him in home runs, that's got to be awesome.
Yes. Well, they're all big. Like, he's like 6'3", 225, I think, you know? Stanton's like 6'5", 6'6", right? Judge is like 6'8". Like, these dudes are monsters. They are monsters. Absolute monsters. What did Aaron call them? Savages. My guys are savages up there. They're savages. Yes, they are. They are savages.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You can get a whole lot of something. Get a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Not available in every state. Only available with select farmers branded policies underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate.
I love my boy Ramos. Ramos is like most honest guy ever. He's like, I think Luke Voigt has the biggest biceps in baseball. I was like, okay. I don't really like, and look, even if Ramos was that way, he's not. He's a happily married man with a 1-year-old, you know, as well as two other kids. But even if he was, it was just a very, like, I walked in, I was like, man, Luke Voigt was awesome. He was awesome. I think he's got the biggest biceps in baseball. I don't know. I was like, should I have asked him that? Do you have the biggest biceps in baseball?
I just got done doing some buys.
Are you a, it's interesting, he was talking about DJ LeMahieu doing the same thing every day. I have a tendency to do a lot of things similar, although I've gone out of my comfort zone a lot with coffee recently, trying different kinds of coffee. Ramos, are you a programmed, I do the same thing, eat the same breakfast every day sort of guy?
I like the same things a lot. So I guess in that sense, I would probably do the same things every day. Like, I always eat cereal.
Probably.
Well,
you always had cereal, but do you always eat the same cereal?
No. I can go fluctuate between
what'd
different cereals.
What'd you have this
cereals.
Morning?
I had, is it K?
Special K?
Special K with berries, yes.
Wait, with your own berries or with the berries there?
the little strawberries they have inside of it already.
Oh, the fake strawberries.
Yeah, hard ones that get soft with milk.
Buyer, are you a creature of habit? You do the same thing every day?
Yes. Yeah. And actually, I like to break from it, but it's very difficult to do that. So,
give me an example.
Well, so I have a routine of when I get up, when I shower.
Okay,
when
you
I
get up. No, what time?
Leave the house. I don't know, 8:30.
Well, you said it's a routine, so it's like, you know, don't tell me you don't know. You do know.
I know, but
you get up 8:30.
No, I think people look down on me because of the schedule and when I sleep.
Listen. So. I'm being honest with you, okay? Friend to friend. You work, I don't know, like 6 days a week, right? You're here all the time. For people don't understand, like, we have my show, but he's also doing local content as well. So it's not like you're just hanging out and every once in a while I say, like, hey, can you press the on button and talk for a little bit?
I do something, Dan.
Like, and I'm, you know, Yeah, I work technically 3 hours a day on a radio show, but I also watch as much as I read a ton, I watch a ton,
yeah,
I listen a ton. So yeah, my schedule's pretty sweet. I'm not going to apologize. You don't have to apologize for getting up at 8:30.
It's
you're not digging ditches, right? But it's not like you're also it's not like you're sitting. I mean, I thought rolling in with the Lamborghini today was a little bit arrogant, especially when you double parked.
Yeah.
But nobody's going to think that much that much worse. So you get up at 8:30, and then what?
Well, and then I'll just do everything. Shower, same order of everything goes on, and then ending up. Time-wise, I'll leave after they spin the wheel on the Price is Right the first time. That's usually what happens. Yeah.
Wait, hold it. Seriously?
Because I love the Price is Right. So at 9 o'clock, Deal or No Deal's on the Game Show Network. So that will be on as I'm getting everything ready, old episodes.
This is amazing. I had no idea that you were a Game Show Network guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yes, it is a big part of my life. So I'll have Price is Right on, and then after they spin the wheel the first time, usually don't see the next three games, but after they spin the wheel the first time is when I leave.
Okay. I did not see that one coming. So when you try and break out of that habit, what is it like? I'm going to sleep till 9 today?
It's like, wow, I get to see two more games in the Price is Right. No, it's one of those things. Or I don't have a breakfast. I'll go and get a coffee on the way in.
Yeah.
But if I do break out, maybe I'll have a breakfast and watch those games sitting at the table and then not get the coffee and come in at that point. Maybe I'll get a chiropractor adjustment on certain days before the show.
Do you let him to the neck?
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
They can crack everything.
Right? Isn't that just amazing? That's like the amazing feeling, right? When they're like, okay, just relax. Just relax. Oh! Oh, my God. I can see clearly now.
Like I swear by it. Like, I really
who
do.
Who doesn't? I watch, you want some the dirty secrets of Gottlieb? So I watch two things I watch on, like, my Facebook feed. I watch zit popping. Some of the zit popping thing, now I know it's gross. I just, like, how do these people get to the point to where they allowed it to be so gross to where there's just, like, blackheads upon blackheads?
And by the way, blackheads, like, aren't, well, sometimes they are gory, but when they're, you know, it's not like a, you know, tons of blood gushing out either.
Like, oh, well
some of them.
Watch some of my videos. There's some that were like, oh, my God, that's just disgusting. How did you let it get to
what
that
about life? Earwax?
Yeah.
You ever see those? Where
yeah,
like,
I've seen some of them. Yeah. Some of you're just like, but again, like, when did you get to the point to where you're like, I just never cleaned my ears. That's okay. So that one, and the other one is chiropractic adjustments. You know, they do all kind of, you know, and there's a couple of guys that post videos of chiropractic adjustments, and I feel relaxed watching other people's back gets cracked. Like, I feel like I don't have to go to a chiropractor. I watch somebody get adjusted, and that's good enough for me. Let's get to Dan Byer and find out what else is going on in the world of sports. Dan, what do you got?
My wife will also send me videos of people's neck and back being
amazing, right? You're like, oh, yeah, I know the feeling. The only thing about the chiropractor is when they put you on the plan. Like, well, we got to x-ray you. And,
oh, yeah, that's.
Oh, come on. Like, look, if you want to just charge me more money, charge me more money. If you want to somehow get more of my insurance money, like, whatever. But the idea that we need to put you on some program thing, stop it. I was in San Antonio one time. And I like a rib, kind of had like a rib out, you know, like it just, it feels like a stabbing thing. And the guy does like, well, I can't do it without x-rays. Does x-rays. He's like, you have scoliosis. It's like, no, it's like, this is classic scoliosis. I bet you really struggled with athletics as a kid because of back issues. I was like, no, not once. Can you pop my back now? Hey, can I see you tomorrow? Like, no, I'm leaving town. I can't breathe. That's all. Just pop my back.
This is Game Time.
It's Game Time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
What did I have that played last night? Oh, there's Joe mixing out. Oh, I had the Eagles defense, you know.
You mixing up your lineup?
Yes, sir. I gotcha. Man, all I got is James White left, the running back. I'm going to have to make
When you went to Alamo Chiropractic, did he do it the normal way, or was he able to crack it like normal? Because I've noticed different chiropractors do it a bunch of different ways, and some are normal and some are just
I've been a chiropractor. I'm probably like, I've been a chiropractor in so many places. I don't remember that guy. I remember My wife's from a town called Drumride, Oklahoma. There's a chiropractor in Cushing, Oklahoma. And he put me on some like stretching machine, you know? You ever been on one of those? But it was like from, I felt like it was from like the 1970s. Yeah. I felt like they were going to at some point have me stand up and have and try and lose weight having that like band around me that vibrates you. Remember that, you know that one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was coming. That's how dated some of the equipment was there.
Oh, all right, psychic.
Will, psychic?
Oh, yeah. What game is it today?
It's, psychic?
Psychic. Psychic. Will we see Wednesday or Friday night football in the NFL this season? We've seen Tuesday. We've seen...
No.
Okay.
No, I think it screws up everybody's schedule too much. We would have seen it already. I think people like that Tuesday window, but Wednesdays just screws everybody up, I'm going to say. And Friday is, you already have college football being played there, and I think it's problematic now.
Psychic, what team has the brightest future in the NFC East?
Fantasy question. Should I pick up Noah Fant? Because all I have is Tyler Higbee, and he's questionable.
Yeah. Fant's coming back this week for the Broncos.
Yeah, and they're playing Kansas City, who's not great against tight ends. So, yeah, I'm going to do that. All right. Sorry, go ahead. Anyway, you were saying?
That's okay. What team has the brightest future in the NFC East?
Ooh, brightest future NFC East. I believe the brightest future. Like, how far in the future?
Let's say next season and the season after. How about that?
Okay.
Next two seasons.
Next two seasons. I will say the Dallas Cowboys, because I still think they have a lot of talent. No. Eagles. Eagles.
All right, psychic. Will college football feel normal with the Big Ten back this weekend? And I used air quotes
normal. Normal. No, it will not feel normal.
Okay.
It will feel weird. But that actually fits Jim Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh is totally weird.
College football, I'm a huge college football fan, but it has been difficult without the Big Ten for me. So to have it back this weekend.
Well, there's no Pac-12, so we don't have the Pac-12 or Pac-10 after dark.
Correct.
That's kind of weird, too.
That's actually was kind of where I was wondering, like, does the Big Ten make it normal, or do we still need to have everybody play?
Makes it better. I mean, now you have Ohio State, right? And you'll have Michigan play, and you have Penn State play. And it feels Nebraska's going to play Ohio State. Like, that'll feel all good. But it's still going to feel hard to feel good when you don't have fans. And then when you add on top of the lack of fans, the idea that you would have you won't have the Pac-12, I think that's what's missing.
All right, psychic. Purdue's got some COVID issues. Jeff Brohm not coaching this weekend because of it. Will any Big Ten games be declared a no contest? Remember, the Big Ten now jamming in their schedule to fit it all in. And if there's a COVID outbreak, they would consider calling a game a no contest. Will we have any big games be declared
a no contendere? No low contendere? Big Ten have a no contest. No, I do not believe they'll have a no contest. I think they'll find a way. Yes, it's going to be difficult. But I think once we're getting really close to when they're sending, they already sent Michigan kids home, and the students are home. I don't know if people know that. My guess is that, you know, once we get close to Thanksgiving, students are going home anyway, and they're basically in a bubble. I mean, I talked to some college basketball coaches, like, you know, we're basically in a bubble already. There's only, you know, 150, 200 kids on campus, and they're all athletes anyway. So I think we're going to make it.
All right, Doug, approximately how many bowl games
psychic
do you see being played in college football? We had the Holiday Bowl get canceled yesterday.
Well, you have the New Year's Day 6. I think those will all play.
Yep.
You have the semifinals. Those will both be played. We're at 8. The championship is at 9. I'm going to say roughly 12.
Okay.
Roughly 12.
And the New Year's 6, part of that is the college football playoff.
Right.
But the Holiday Bowl.
Yeah, how does it fall this year? Remind me. Like,
It's Rose and Sugar, I believe.
I meant in terms of dates.
January 1 for both of those.
Those are both. But are they all January 1?
No. The semifinals would be January 1, but I think you'd have the December 30th.
I don't get that. Your college football, you've always owned the 1st of January. Like, that's our day. You guys do you, and it's a Friday this year, right? So there's no real conflicts. You guys do whatever you want. January 1st, everybody watch college football, ready, break, right? And then they're like, yeah, let's move this here, let's move that there. And as long as the Rose Bowl's in the first, then we're good, and the semifinals in the first is good. Like, no, I want football all day on the 1st of January.
Well, that's the problem. They want those games to have their specific windows, and you can't. They don't want anything going up against the Rose Bowl, or they don't want anything going up against the Sugar Bowl. But all right, we'll hopefully have some bowl games. I'm skeptical as well. Psychic, what actual day will the upcoming NBA season begin?
Christmas Day.
Finally, Psychic, the University of Arizona says they have received a notice of allegations from the NCAA. So will Sean Miller still be the coach of the Wildcats when this is all over? What do you see?
No, he will not be the head coach. I would guess that he'll coach this year, and then I think he has 2 years left on his deal, and he will be replaced. Then the question is, there's a lot of former Arizona players. Damon Stoudemire has done an outstanding job at Pacific, and there were limited jobs open, but of the jobs open, everybody wanted Damon Stoudemire. My guess would be he's a primary candidate. Jason Terry just took an assistant job. I think that's too big of a step up. He's at Arizona. Don't think that happens. I'm sure they'll call Steve Kerr and say, Steve, what do you think? But my guess would be Damon Stoudemire would be the next head coach. And I don't think you have some major violations. If there's any smoking gun in there, then Sean will be.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Perk up your ears for Farmers Policy Perks. From discounts to added benefits, you can get a whole lot of something. Get a quote by calling 1-800-FARMERS.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Not available in every state. Only available with select Farmers branded policies underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or affiliate.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossing. The signals are going. Don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks. Even if you don't see a train stop, trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA. You know what's always interesting to me? On how people, what they do to completely change history, right? That's what they do to completely, or their how would I term it? In terms of history, I find this to be fascinating. In terms of history, they misrepresent it. Right? That's what they do. They misrepresent it. Like, for example, this is a big one. So one of the things that LeBron James fans and sometimes like sycophants will say is they'll be like, well, you remember that year 07, Booby Gibson went to the NBA Finals? Remember that? That was awesome. Right? That was amazing. That shows what he could do. Now, look, I understand that he's been to the finals 10 times. I get that. There's some similarities in that year. And remember, Allen Iverson took the 76ers to the finals as well, kind of a one-man band. Like, what no one has mentioned ever in the history of national radio is, hey, that year, the Eastern Conference was an abject disaster. I believe that was the first year of Shaquille O'Neal with the Miami Heat, right? And the Lakers were a dysfunctional mess. The Lakers had won 3 in a row, and then the Pistons won the year before. But the Pistons were only good for kind of that one playoff run. They had all of those parts. They had Chauncey Billups. They had Rasheed Wallace. They had Ben Wallace. And they kind of kept it together for a year and won a championship because the Lakers had a bunch of injuries and a bunch of dysfunction. And like no one points out that, yeah, LeBron got to the finals, but like who'd he beat along the way? You know, the Wizards weren't any good. They beat the Raptors, who were like Chris Bosh and TJ Ford and Anthony Parker, right? And they beat, and then they beat the Pistons, who were a shell of their former selves. Right, Flip Saunders was the coach. Larry Brown was gone. Remember that? Yeah. Like that's who they beat along the way. it's not like he went through the 85 Celtics. Then he went through the 88 Lakers. Then he went through the Golden State Warriors. You know? Like, that year in the NBA playoffs, the best teams were, without any question, it was the Spurs, the Mavericks, the Phoenix Suns, and the Utah Jazz. Those were the four best teams. Right? This is the Utah Jazz that had that were led by a really, really young and athletic Deron Williams and Carlos Boozer and Mehmet Okur and Derek Fisher and Matt Harpring and Gordon Gierchek. Like, those were the four best teams in the sport. So we do this thing where we look back at history and we only look at one person's failures or one person's accomplishment, and I don't think that's a fair way to do it. Let's get to what the Fox said.
And now...
This was Colin Cowherd talking about Derek Carr.
It really comes down to this with the Raiders. Do you like Derek Carr? I do, always have. Derek Carr, to me, is the 12th best quarterback in the NFL. I do these lists from time to time, and that's what he is. For the record, I went and looked it up this morning. Derek Carr, since the start of last season, that's with John Gruden, 32 touchdowns, 9 picks, 71% completion percentage, and 105 quarterback rating. I'm in. I don't think he's Rodgers or Russell. I don't think he's Mahomes or Lamar. I don't think he's quite Big Ben. But he's a top 12 quarterback. The Raiders, if they win this weekend, will have beaten Breeze and Peyton, Andy Reid and Mahomes, Bruce Arians and Tom Brady. Remember, Raiders off a bye. Buccaneers just came off a huge win over Green Bay. Natural letdown. Keep your eye on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Okay. So I agree there. The problem is I don't know if he's going to have an offensive line. All of that makes total sense in a normal year. This is not a normal year. Trent Brown got COVID, and then all the rest of the offensive linemen who are in the meeting room have been sent home immediately, and they're just hoping to have a football game. That's the weird thing, which is you can make all of these points which are completely accurate in a vacuum, but the game is not played in a vacuum. It's played inside a television set. You know what's funny about the Daniel Jones run is this is what I love about sports most. The highs and the lows. Have you, Byer, you played football as a kid. You're defensive back and a wide receiver, right?
Yes.
In the great feelings you'll ever have, taking a ball to the house like from 50, 60 yards where all you see is green grass and you hear everybody behind you, that's like one of the greatest feelings in life, right?
Yes.
So to go from an 80-yard run where you're going to score a touchdown as a quarterback to tripping over your own feet, like if that's not sports, I don't know what is. Albert Breer joins us upcoming next. I'll ask him if Dwayne Haskins has a future in the NFL.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.